God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh God, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going? Hello, thanks for joining us once again for another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Amanda, and as always, I am joined by Justin, and our special guest today is Jess. How are you guys?
Yay.
Good.
Fabulous. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Anybody do anything fun for Martin Luther King Jr. weekend?
No.
How did you celebrate the birth of our nation's greatest civil rights activist?
I moved.
I went to work. It was a very, very exciting weekend for both of us.
And I clicked on Google. There was a big to-do about Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, the doodle.
Yeah. I clicked on that. It took me to a wiki page.
All right, well, let's get into it. We have a few little items of TV news. So, AMC released a new trailer for the second half of season 4 of The Walking Dead. And I think that got you thinking, Jess, about why The Walking Dead is sort of faltering.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your opinion piece that you wrote?
My opinion. Yes, my Daryl Dixon conundrum that I have.
Yes.
Well, you can read the full article on geeklegacy.com. If you don't want to read it, you can listen to me ramble about it for a minute. Basically, I come across a lot of different memes and stuff as far as Walking Dead is concerned. And the one that has stuck out to me most recently is that one that's like a little graph and it's separated into colors. And it's basically reasons why you watch Walking Dead. And it's like how you go through it in your normal walking life. Or your normal walking life? watching life. So basically it starts out, really cool, awesome zombie stuff happens. And then there's this long stretch of nothing happens. And then there's this tiny stretch of people do stupid things, and you start to think, why do I continue to watch this show? And then it ends on the cliffhanger, and you're like, well, now I have to watch it. And
I saw that on your Facebook. You should have linked. You should put it in your post.
Yeah, I forget to put it in. I should have put that on my. Well, I'll link it somewhere at some point. Somebody can find it. And basically what I've gathered as far as The Walking Dead, because I do enjoy the show, but I definitely fall into that category of why am I still watching this? But there is a vast amount of people who are really, really, really super into The Walking Dead. Which brings me to my point, is that I don't really believe that they're into The Walking Dead per se, but I believe that they really just like Daryl Dixon enough to stick with it. There's a lot of fan service generated towards Daryl, and I'm not knocking Daryl or anything. He is a really cool character, but I just don't think he's enough to carry the entire series. He's an extremely one-dimensional character as it is anyway. I mean, granted, he is becoming more sensitive as we go along, but his whole basic persona is the same, and I just don't see how a show can be ranked, you know, number one drama when half of its fan base really only watches to see what Daryl's going to do next. And if they kill Daryl off, they'll probably legitimately just stop watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically they don't have any other interest other than Daryl.
I hear what you're saying. I think that makes a lot of sense. I know that me personally, I really like Rick. I think that he's a pretty complicated dude. And he's got a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings. And I think that he does a good job of showing that on the show. Or at least in the series. And I kind of like that. Now that Michonne speaks, I think she's a really good character. You know, I care for Maggie and Glenn. That episode where they were kind of being tortured by the governor. That was really hard to watch, I thought. And, you know, I realize that I genuinely care about those two. Not so much her sister. I don't even know her sister's name, for crying out loud.
Beth.
There you go, Beth. I don't really care so much for her, but I know I like Maggie and Glenn.
I think she might be stepping up here now that... Are we good on spoilers? Does everybody...
Yeah.
Am I allowed to? Okay.
If you're not caught up, then it's your fault.
All right, well, now that Herschel's dead, I think Beth is going to be stepping up here. And that's kind of my point. Like, I think Rick is a very complicated character. I think Michonne could be a very, very... I mean, in the comic book, she's really super awesome. In the show, I feel like she's kind of not used to her full advantage because the series knows what the fans like. So they're going to dedicate more time to this character than rather than like trying to dedicate time to all the other characters. I mean, how many seasons have we gone through where there's one character each season that everybody just loves to hate? Lori, Andrea, T-Dog to an extent. It's just... I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of groundwork and a lot of backstory and everything that we could really be benefiting from, and we're just kind of brushing it over.
I like it. What say you, Amanda?
I agree with everything Jess is saying. I mean, it's been really hard to watch the show this past season and a half.
Yeah.
Because I'm not finding it particularly interesting most of the time. And, you know, little things will happen here and there that make me interested. Like the whole episode with Rick and Carol when he told her that she had to leave. Like that was very powerful and forced the viewer to think harder about what the relationships between these people.
Right.
Since, you know, we just accept that, you know, Carol's one of them. And, you know, so she's quote-unquote safe as a character. But then, you know, she went ahead and murdered people in cold blood.
Right.
And Rick had to decide, like, what to do about that. And the decision that he made was really difficult and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, like, things like that make me want to watch the show. But then... most of the time what we get is, you know, episodes where everyone's sick and quarantined and they're on the road.
Standing around.
Yeah.
Well, and see, like you... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to finish off by saying, and that's not particularly interesting. I mean, it's building up to something, but I feel like there's so much buildup. Like, why is there so much freaking buildup all the time?
For that last scene in the final episode, well, in the cliffhangers. And like you said, the episode, and I really liked Carol, and I was really upset when she left. I'm like, okay, I get it, but still, I really liked Carol. I wanted her to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
But the writers could write her off or really kill anybody. But like I said, like my whole point with Daryl is that how can you justify being able to kill off all these people all the time and it being totally fine, but we're just going to keep this one character around just because the audience likes them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same issue with Supernatural a few seasons ago, where they just got really super heavy into, you know, all the fan fiction and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny for a minute, you know, I like the little jokey episodes every once in a while, but then you just kind of want to get back into the story rather than focusing on just like a select group of fan interests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Game of Thrones will kill off anybody. They don't care. You like this character? Too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's Supernatural. I mean, I like the show, but I like it when it's one long story arc. I'm not really a fan of the Freak of the Week, and there's a lot of that in Supernatural.
It actually, are you caught up at all?
I haven't watched this last week's, but the finale, the mid-season finale was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I think that, like, with the last two seasons that they've done really well sticking with that overarching story rather than, like, I didn't really like the Leviathan season much.
Right. Yeah, that was terrible.
But I think they're actually...
season 7.
Yeah, well, yeah. God, that show's been on for 9 years.
Uh-huh.
But they are getting much better at sticking to, you know, actually main story and actually trying to resolve things rather than just bouncing around.
Yeah, as long as it goes forward. I'm cool with everything going forward. I think Fringe was really good at doing that, too. It was always moving forward. And, but yeah. Walking Dead. You know what's funny is I started off hating this show, and I got all kinds of shit for it on the podcast, and now I'm kind of coming around and starting to enjoy it, and then now I'm hearing people...
And we're all dropping off.
I like it.
I like it. It's like I have this weird love-hate relationship with it. Like, I do think it's a good TV show. I do think everybody that's on it does really well at what they do, but I just feel, like Amanda said, there's just so much build-up and build-up and build-up, and nothing happens.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they kill somebody, and then, okay, well, where are we now? In the same exact place.
Right.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like I have a particularly hard time watching it because I'm also writing the reviews. And so when every single episode that I'm reviewing is just build up, it's just obviously building up to something later.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what am I supposed to write about? Like, nothing happened.
Right, they just stood around and talked about the impending doom that was coming, and that's it.
Cool.
But I will watch it when it comes back on, and I will stick with it, but I will probably sit and grumble to myself for the first half. And are we all pretty convinced that Judith is not coming back, or do you think they're going to find her somewhere?
I don't think she's dead. I think that they'll find her.
She's going to find her crawling around somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody stashed her somewhere, probably.
Yeah, and I think Carol will probably come back before the end of this season, too.
I hope so, because Carol's really started to be one of my favorite characters right before she, you know, murdered people.
I didn't mind her that so much. That
I didn't either,
honestly. Her at all.
I thought, you know, you got to do what you got to do. It's the apocalypse. Sometimes morals need to step aside for a minute.
Right, and see that's where the good writing comes in. That's where the audience gets to take sides and disagree with how characters handle stuff. That's when it gets fun.
I mean, I'm sorry for Tyrese, but like, as an audience, we didn't really have any opportunity to get to know Karen.
Yeah,
so.
3 seconds?
Right.
Come on, that's stupid.
So,
yeah.
Her death really doesn't mean anything to us as an audience.
No.
If she would have killed another member of the group, then it would have been a little bit more...
Right. Like, if she had decided to kill, like, Beth or Maggie or Glenn or something.
Yeah. Anyway.
Moving on. Last week, we were talking about Starz is going to have a new show called Black Sails, which is about piracy in the Caribbean in the early 1700s. Mm-hmm. And Machinima posted... the first full episode on their YouTube channel. Starz is like allowing us a little sneak peek outside of the pay gate. So if you're interested in checking it out, you should go watch it on Machinima's YouTube channel.
Yeah, you gave it an A-.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. And I forgot that this is a show that's on, like, a premium channel. There were times when all of a sudden things got really blurry. And I was like, what is that? Why is it so blurry all of a sudden? And then I realized, oh, they're blurring out, like, nudity and gore and violence.
Oh, wow.
So they had to do that. And
so without those blurs, it would have just been a solid A, right?
I really enjoyed it. That follows the story of Captain Flint, who is on the hunt for the missing treasure ship, and he's tracking down like little bits of information and clues to try and figure out where the ship went, and in an attempt to recover the cashola for himself and his crew. But at the same time, he hasn't been trusting his crew, so mutiny is brewing just beneath the surface, because they don't understand why their captain is, you know, dragging them hither and yon, and, you know, not really paying them as much as they want to be. So it's interesting in that it's not just... pirates attacking other ships and, you know, whoring around and shooting people up. There's also politics. There's like power politics and my only problem with the show was the portrayal of its main female character. Just her in particular. The main female character that they introduce, who, and the actress has like top billing along with, you know, the other actors in the show, but her character is just so freaking weak. They tried to establish her right off the bat as a badass who, like, she kind of runs the pirate black market, but then that characteristic is undermined by the fact later on that it's really her father who runs the black market. She's just kind of like liaison between the pirates and her dad, because her father has to pretend to be like a upright citizen, and she is at the docks, you know, actually interfacing with the pirates, but it's really like her father who's in charge. And then she just like gets her ass beat like in front of everybody.
By another just, female pirate? Or
no, by a guy. Like, she slaps some guy in the face, and then he punches her. Just, like, knocks her out.
I don't know why that's funny.
And then, after that, she's just, like, this pouty, like, sullen girl. And I was just like, why would I care about this girl? Like, she's just blah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully they turn that around. But it was so weird how like they worked so hard to make her seem super strong right off the bat, and then they just tore her down completely.
Oh. Maybe it's a front. She has to act strong because she's dealing with pirates.
Well, yes.
But deep down inside, she's just a sentimental girl.
She's a delicate little flower.
Which is so annoying, but whatever.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, and she's a lesbian.
Oh, great. So she's not going to get any action on the pirate ships then.
Not any wanted.
Well, we know that she's a lesbian because there's a very graphic sex scene.
Blurry scene.
That was blurred out on YouTube. I guess it wasn't graphic. Just a lot of boobs.
Right.
Just blurred out.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Black Sails. You guys should watch it if you have Stars. If you don't,
I do have Stars. I might check that out.
Yeah. So it airs. So it'll air on
this weekend,
January 25th. Yeah. But if you don't have Stars, you can watch the first episode on YouTube.
Fantastic. Boom.
Yay.
I like it. What else you got?
In sad news, Ben Starr died.
Oh.
Yeah, he died on Sunday in LA at 92. And he was co-creator of Facts of Life, Silver Spoons, wrote for All in the Family and Different Strokes and like all of these comedies in the 80s. And you know, a lot of our pop culture comes from him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dave and I are pretty big fans of Different Strokes and Facts of Life. Pretty sad he's not on the podcast to talk about it.
I was just going to say, I was never a big Different Strokes fan, but I really do like Facts of Life a lot.
It was a spinoff. Did you know that? Facts of Life was a spinoff from Different Strokes.
Really? I didn't.
Yeah. Mrs. Garrett she was their nanny on Different Strokes.
I think I might remember that vaguely. I used to watch Facts of Life on Nick at Night all the time.
Nick at Night? Oh my god. I watched it when it was on.
What year was it on?
Not that long ago. 79 to 80, something, late 80s.
I was not alive.
Oh my god. I wasn't alive either.
Whatever, you were.
I wasn't alive for 10 more years.
Holy smokes.
You have no idea what you're talking about, old man.
Actually, and he wrote the line. It was like, what are you talking about, Willis? And then Gary Coleman changed it to, what you talking about, Willis? Interesting.
Well, we have to credit him for that, definitely.
Yes.
Finally, on a slightly more uplifting note, those of you who are fans of Richard Madden, who played Robb Stark in Game of Thrones, he is going to be returning to television very soon on the Discovery's first ever scripted show. It's called Klondike, and it follows...
What would people do
for Klondike?
I know, right? Every time I hear the name of the show, I just think about Klondike bars. I'm like, why couldn't you guys call it something else? Why did it have to be called Klondike? Like, why couldn't you call it Yukon? Like, it could have been called Yukon, and it would have been fine.
Would have made complete sense.
Well, actually, maybe they didn't want it to be confused with because actually, Discovery has a show called Yukon Men. It's like some reality show.
Oh yeah, where they go and try to find little gold things of gold. Yeah.
Stupid.
So
people still do that.
So Klondike, the show, is about Bill Haskell, who is played by Richard Madden, and he is he's traveling to the Yukon to try and strike it rich in the early 19th century, and so it's like a bit of a period piece. It's it looks pretty interesting since it's supposed to be exciting. Like they're striking out into the wild, untamed North to try and strike it rich and find gold. If
I miss Robb Stark.
Yeah.
Wait, he's not coming back in the next season?
I mean, I think I miss Robb Stark. He could totally make a comeback from that, right?
Pulling double duty, Klondike and King of the North.
Oh, so Klondike actually premiered tonight. So check your... Check out on Discovery. I'm sure they're going to rerun it again. It's Discovery, after all. All right, so that's it for TV. For movie news, why don't you tell us, Justin, about the latest in cinematic things?
I can do
cinematic
that.
Cinematic greatness.
Yeah, all right, why not? Well, the Oscar nominations were announced last week. That's always exciting. Got to get up really early in the morning to find out who is hot and who is not. And some of our favorite categories, like Best Picture. Some fun movies. You got American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, that's so stupid, Nebraska, 12 Years a Slave, The Wolf of Wall Street.
I like that movie a lot. Give it to 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, they probably might.
Oh, that's probably.
Or Wolf of, I think it's Wolf of Wall Street, 12 Years a Slave, or American Hustle.
I don't know. Wolf of Wall Street didn't get received so well by the Academy when they got their screening.
Oh, it didn't?
No, they booed Martin Scorsese. It?
They didn't like how scandalous it was?
Apparently not. Apparently when he came out on stage, I was reading at this Academy screening they did, he came out on stage and he got booed. Unknown writer, they wouldn't give the name, told him that he should be ashamed of himself.
Oh yeah, it was an old lady, I think.
There were two people. She actually came out on Facebook and said something about it. She was in the apartment, that Billy Wilder movie. I can't remember what her name is. Something Holiday, I think, but I don't remember. But so I don't know. I think he's going to get snubbed big time at the Oscars.
That's a shame.
Like he usually does, though. Leonardo DiCaprio. Maybe
they're missing the point of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the 80s was, man. Sex and cocaine and big cell phones. Anyway, moving on. Directing, there's American Hustle, Gravity, Nebraska, 12 Years a Slave, Wolf of Wall Street. Actor in a leading role, Christian Bale, Bruce Dern, Leonardo DiCaprio, freaking Matthew McConaughey, and oh my god, what's how do you say that one guy's name? Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, yeah, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
There you go. Fine young man. We like him. So much, I don't even know how to say his name. He's that guy that's in everything.
He's in Love Actually, and in Serenity, and in Kinky Boots.
2012.
Oh, God.
Thanks. That's his best movie.
Salt.
Oh, I like Salt.
I think he's in Salt. Yeah.
See the one that lets her go at the end? Spoiler alert.
I think so.
In case you missed that movie.
You think he's the bad guy, but he's not the bad guy.
Yeah. How about that? Actress was Amy Adams, Cate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep, as always. This is like our 18th billion nomination. So, anyway. Watch it. It'll be fun.
And Ellen is hosting.
Yay.
Oh, is she?
We like Ellen. Moving on. So, Jack Ryan, this poor guy, been making movies forever, Jack franchise, and apparently, studios thought that by recruiting the young Chris Pine, they might bring in young audience moviegoers. However, that did not happen. When you throw Kevin Costner into a movie, then that means a bunch of old people are going to go. That's just all the way
right.
to it.
Pretty much.
I don't know why they didn't figure that part out.
Kevin Costner and Richard Gere are like... old people bait.
that means 50 plus, hands down, no matter what. And I mean, that's cool. I think people just need to maybe figure that Jack Ryan isn't as relevant as studios seem to think he is. I don't know. I could go the rest of my life without watching another Jack Ryan movie. I mean, I enjoy them, but I don't.
They're not really needed.
Yeah, it's.
It's the same stuff all the time.
Exactly. An analyst that gets put in extraordinary situations and does amazing things. Hot damn. And how many times can this shit happen to one person? I'm over it.
Well, and also, wait, you didn't mention the AARP, did you?
No.
So apparently, the AARP gave its first Movies for Grown-Ups seal on the film.
Wow.
Specifically pointing to Kenneth Branagh and Costner's performances.
Well, there you go. And see, Kenneth Branagh's getting old too.
And neither of them is actually Jack Ryan. Like, they are not the title character.
That's funny. Anyway, what can you do? And I like Kenneth Branagh. You know, if I didn't move this weekend, I probably would have saw this movie.
I didn't even know this movie was out.
Yeah, they didn't. We were talking about marketing earlier.
Like, I was barely even aware that this movie was being made until, like, a friend of mine mentioned that Chris Pine was Jack Ryan.
Right.
I was like, what? Since when?
Chalk him up to the list. You had Alec Baldwin, then you had Harrison Ford, then you had Ben Affleck, and now we have Chris Pine. Oh, well. What can he do? It made, what, $18 million over the weekend?
It's not terrible, but...
not terrible, but it's not...
it's not good. What they wanted.
Yeah. Oh, well. Better days.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not going to be America's answer to James Bond.
Correct.
No.
Never has been.
Never will be.
Nope. Nope.com, as it were. And then, lastly, in movie news, Batman vs. Superman. It got pushed to 2016. Kind of sad. I was looking forward to watching that next summer. But now it's going to have, I think, a May 6th opening in 2016. And apparently it's going to be opening alongside a Marvel movie. We don't know which one yet. But,
oh. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
Marvel DC going head to head.
Yeah, and according to the studio, the filmmakers need time to realize fully their vision given the complex visual nature of the story. That was the official word on why it was delayed. Delayed, it might be a harsh word. We'll say pushed back. So, interesting. I mean, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, that's probably a good thing because there's a billion movies coming out in 2015. So,
yeah.
That's just unfortunate for people that were looking forward to more DC films.
Like, just gotta wait.
Yep. You know, this talk of this whole Justice League movie, freaking
Wonder Woman,
Flash, and adding Wonder Woman to the mix, all that stuff. So now you just gotta wait. But yeah, that's it for movie news. I do have a fun top 10 list if you guys are interested.
All right.
All right.
I'm totally interested.
This top 10 list comes courtesy of Nerdacy.com. It is the 10 recent films that never got their planned sequels. Coming at number 10 is Green Lantern, starring Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. I don't think any of us like this movie. Is that correct?
No.
Nope.
So that was terrible.
We are not interested in a sequel any goddamn.
That movie can die in a fire.
Oh,
I agree. Yeah.
That's sad. Fire's bad.
That's why I want it to die in one.
There you go. You play with matches and you get the horns. Number 9, The Lone Ranger. 2013, starring Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer, which is one of the funnest names ever to say. But that movie was terrible. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was about 5 hours long. It was brutal.
And then
they have the Lone Ranger theme going on for like the last 30 minutes of the movie. It's like in a constant loop.
Just in case you forgot what you were watching, right? Here's the theme song.
Holy shit.
Hey, guys, guess what? This is the Lone Ranger.
It's terrible. So bad. Number 8, John Carter. 2012, Taylor Kitsch and Lynn Collins. I didn't like that movie either. In fact, that's another Disney movie that just didn't make it. Those live-action Disney movies, they're not cutting it these days.
No.
Number 7, The Prince of Persia. That was in 2010. That was with Jake Gyllenhaal, Gemma Arterton, and Ben Kingsley. Personally, I actually enjoyed this movie and would welcome a sequel, but to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't think it was so bad.
It was fun. Number 6, Push. Not to be confused with Precious, enough based on Push by Sapphire. This Push was starring Dakota Fanning and Chris Evans. Did you guys see this movie?
No, I've never even heard of it.
I think I did. Yeah, I did see that, and it was not very good.
Yeah, it wasn't terribly impressive. I remember like some people have like special abilities, and then they kind of have to register with the government or something, and they get tracked down. And that's where, like, I think Jimon Hounsou is the guy that's tracking him down. But
yeah,
I saw it in a theater by myself, actually. I was all alone that weekend, and I went to the movies, and I ended up hating myself for seeing it. It was just boring. And then number 5, Jumper, 2008, starring Hayden Christensen, Samuel L. Jackson. Did you guys see this one?
No.
Yes.
It wasn't too bad.
It was okay. I mean, they definitely set it up for a sequel, but I don't think I would really care to see any more of it. It was fine for what it was.
Right. That's where
I can't stand that guy.
Yeah, he's just able to just teleport to different parts of the planet. And at times he gets a little lazy and he'll be like next to this car door and then just go ahead and teleport into the car. And
I couldn't possibly open this door.
Yeah, so that's what I was like, yeah, you lazy bum.
I know, right?
And then let's see. Number 4, The A-Team, 2010. Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper, a bunch of other people. That one lady kind of looks like an alien. What's her name?
Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Looks like an alien.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty. She's a very attractive woman. I just think her face is just kind of like sucked in areas, and it just reminds me of an
alien.
Which is fine. Aliens are cool. I like E.T. So you liked A-Team, Amanda? Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't really think that she and Bradley Cooper had much chemistry, but whatever.
Right. Cool. Number 3 is I Am Number 4. And you guys did not read the books or see the movie, from what I understand.
Nope. Nope, never heard of it.
No, it's about this guy that's number 4. He's got these superpowers. I think he might even be an alien. And, gosh, I saw it a long time ago. Well, I saw it in 2011. How about that? And, so then there's this other alien race that's kind of hunting these people down, and he's number 4 on the list.
Ah, yeah.
And then number 2, The Golden Compass, 2007. What is that, the Dark Materials trilogy? Is that what that's from?
Yeah, his Dark Materials.
Philip Pullman, maybe?
Yes.
I didn't read him.
That's correct. I did.
I like the movie. I thought it was cool.
I like the movie, too.
I did not like it.
You did not like it.
It was very good. Nope. That was bad.
I didn't read the books.
Oh. I thought it was cool.
I read the books a really long time ago. They made a pretty big impression on me as a youngin.
Oh.
Since they're very, since the material is very religious in nature.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I like the part with the polar bears.
Yep.
I'm glad that's what you took away from it.
That's exactly what I took away from it.
The murderous.
When he's like, is that all? And then he rips his jaw off. The whole theater went fucking batshit crazy. It was like the coolest part ever. And nothing else needed to happen. It could have been credits after that. It was so cool. And I would have been happy with it. And then number 1 is Terminator Salvation. Christian Bale, Sam Worthington, Anton Yelchin, and even, we were just talking about her, Dallas Bryce Howard. You wouldn't know she was in it because she looks different in every goddamn movie she's in. I enjoyed that movie. I don't know how many people did, but I thought it was pretty good.
I don't know that I saw it. When did it come out?
2009.
don't know. I might have missed that one.
I remember seeing a trailer for it when we went and saw The Dark Knight, which I thought was weird. I always think it's weird when I see a trailer for a movie starring a guy in the movie that I'm about to watch. It almost takes me out of it for a second.
I'd be like, wait, this is not Batman.
Right. Does that make sense? Because then I
kind of
just...
Yeah, kind of.
I'm like, oh.
You're going to see this actor portray this particular character, and then they're just like, but he also does this.
Yeah, that's not cool. I need to stop doing it. Anyway, that's the list. I decided to take it a step further, and I reached out to some of our Twitter followers, and I asked them if there were any movies that that they find are underrated or perhaps are just their favorites that deserve a sequel that haven't gotten one yet. And we've got some pretty interesting responses. Kevin Cook, he actually wants a Captain Planet movie. There hasn't been a movie as it is, but he just really wants that movie. So I would say, you know what? We'll make it happen. He wants it to happen. We'll make it happen. Captain Planet.
He's a hero.
Exactly. I was like, the cartoon wasn't enough for you. And he's like, no way, man. What movie?
So, I need a big blue man saving the Earth from pollution.
There you go.
In IMAX.
It's called Avatar. Check it out.
Right.
Then our buddy at Jeremy Caverly, that is not Justin Cavender, by the way, he wants another Flash Gordon, Spaceballs, Caveman. I think he even took it a step further. He wanted another Priest, which I didn't think was all that good. I went and saw that movie because I like Paul Bettany and Carl Urban's in it too. So I was like, ah, what the hell? I like both of these guys. I'll check it out. But I ended up not enjoying it.
No good.
No. Van Helsing. Even Beastmaster, for crying out loud. I think there was like 3 Beastmaster movies. One even went like in time. To like the 80s.
Yeah.
Anyway. So go visit your local video store, Jeremy. They have more Beastmasters. Rob, our buddy at DigiFluid, that yells at us for liking Star Trek Into Darkness. He's putting out for an Incredibles 2. Which, I actually enjoy that movie, The Incredibles. Do you guys like that movie?
Yeah,
I did. I actually saw that movie for the first time, like, a year or two ago. I didn't see it when it first came out, and I was watching TV one day, it was on, and I was like, why not? And I thought it was really, really good.
That movie's awesome.
I'm surprised they haven't made a sequel.
I know,
they
right?
They could totally make a sequel of that.
No, the whole family's in on it now.
Yeah.
I like that movie. He actually wasn't the only one that wanted an Incredibles. There was another guy. At Asymmetrical Homo says he wants an Incredibles movie. Rob also wanted another Tron, which I don't know. Tron Legacy was cool, but the ending kind of threw me off. I wasn't really into the ending.
I just can't get over CGI Jeff Bridges. Can't. It just creeps me out.
Good. At Mr. Jukes, he wants another Lone Ranger. He's such an idiot. He wants another Lone Ranger. He's lying. I saw the movie with him. So he's full of it. Our buddy at Steve Applewood, who's co-host of Flipping the Nerd, he would like to see another Fifth Element, Demolition Man, and even True Lies. And we are all for True Lies as long as Bill Paxton gets to be in it again as Simon. It'd be a blast. Oh, shit, he even wants a Tango and Cash. I don't know if you guys saw that
movie. Oh, wow.
Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Mm-mm. I haven't seen that, actually.
I think Terry Hatcher was even in that movie. Young.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. And one more from Mr. Brett Anderson, who was at Mr. Jukes. Gravity. I still need to find out what happened to George Clooney. Spoiler alert. He's floating in space, I guess. So there you have it. Are there any movies that you guys would be interested in seeing a sequel that haven't come into fruition yet?
Not really, because all my favorite movies had TV shows.
Like MASH and Firefly?
And all my favorite movies.
Stargate.
Oh, yeah, Stargate. I forgot.
Stargate's like one of my favorite movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love that movie.
James Spader is very thin and has a lot of hair in that movie.
Yeah.
And big old glasses.
He was like dreamy back then.
Yeah, he looks a lot different now.
He is now officially creepy.
Dude. Like in The Office, Robert California, he is so creepy in that. Ugh, he just makes me icky when I watch him. I mean, I love him to death. I watch everything he does, but just that role, Robert California, was terrifying.
I think all my favorite movies have about 1,200 sequels. All my horror movies.
You know, speaking of which, I saw this, I don't know where I read this, some article about the possibility of the next Friday the 13th being like a found footage film.
Yeah, but they and want not to, having Jason in it.
Yeah, I know they want it to be special because it'll be the 13th movie, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be found footage-y. Well, that's pretty much a guarantee. Like, it pretty much is going to be found footage, which is terrible.
So you don't like found footage?
I'm not a fan. I think that it's kind of overdone. I'm kind of bored with it at this point. And the lack of Jason would be they tried that once with Jason Goes to Hell and it went. It's awful. It's terrible. Nobody likes that movie. Not even to poke fun at it. It's just silly.
It's a bad movie.
Yeah. So to take out your key, you know, icon out of that movie, there is no point. I mean, you're basically just making a found footage movie about some kids in the woods getting killed by something.
Right. Terrible.
We could, right.
You don't have to sell me. I'm on board.
I don't like scary movies, so I wouldn't watch it anyway.
It's like, I'm not going to see that anyway.
And I mean, being scared, it amazes me. I think it's so funny. It's like, why am I even scared? It's on TV. It's on like
it's not real.
Freaked out. And sometimes I'm just like, oh my god, I can't know what to do. And I'll like make sure my door's locked like 18 times. It's terrible. Dave doesn't like being scared either, but he'll go so far as just to not watch it. I'll watch it and be terrified. So I have a fun game for us. Do you guys want to?
Yay!
All right. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but a long time ago, we played a game called Who Does This Shit Belong To? And it's a rehash of that.
I don't remember this.
Okay, yeah. So the way it works is, you know, over the weekend, I had one of my famous parties. It's like on a Gatsby level where we're talking orgies and all kinds of craziness happening. And some of my guests included were characters from The Walking Dead. Of course, some of the folks left so drunk that they left some of the shit behind, and this is where you guys come in to try and figure out who it belongs to.
Aha. Uh-huh.
As always, shout out the answer when you know it. If you guess wrong, you will not be able to guess again until we go on to the next question. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. Are both of you ready?
Got it.
Ready.
All right. Here we go. Number one. Some dirty broad had the nerve to leave her blood, guts, and placenta all over my living room.
Lori.
Very good.
I was like, what?
Now you know how this game is going to work. I'll end it with who does this shit belong to, but feel free, like Jess, to guess as soon as you know it. And in this case, it was Lori.
Okay.
It looks like someone forgot their squirrel pelts and crossbow.
Daryl.
Was that Amanda?
Yes.
Oh,
Daryl, okay.
Oh, wait, if you can't tell the difference between our voices.
No, it sounded like you cut out for a second. That's all.
Oh.
It was most definitely Amanda, because I did not say it.
Okay, so 1-1.
I'm surprised you didn't get that, Jess.
I was about to say it, but you beat me to it.
All right, it looks like some sort of homemade eye patch. Who does this?
The governor.
All right, that was...
I was going to say Merle for some reason. I don't know why.
I almost said Merle. I was like, that's Merle. No, that's not
right. Wait, he's missing a hand.
Yeah. All right, 2-1. This guy left a big old revolver, sweaty shirt, and a bundle of mixed emotions in my bathroom. Very good. Tied. 2-2.
I almost said Shane.
Rick was the correct answer. All right. I can't remember her name, but I know she's a fine young woman, and she left her dead sister on my lawn.
Andrea.
Awesome. I was too busy laughing at
that. 2-3. All right. I found some old pocket watch and a box of condoms. Who does this shit belong to?
What? Herschel?
Glenn
is correct.
Oh, right. He gave Glenn the watch.
Yeah, he gave the watch, and then there was like, when they were in the pharmacy, he picked his condoms.
He did?
Yeah. He didn't buy them, but he was...
Oh, that's right. Adam. And then Maggie was like...
Yeah, okay.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
The Hick boys. Yeah. All right. Next. Ooh, I've always wanted a samurai sword. I could do without the jawless chained up zombies.
Sean!
Very good. 3-4, Amanda's in the lead. Alright. This Colonel Sanders looking dude left his crutches, prosthetic leg, and his poorly
Herschel.
On my doorstep. I heard Jess first. So,
all right.
4-4. All right. Someone forgot to take their deputy sheriff's hat home with them. Who does this shit
Carl.
Do? Carl.
Wait, no, Shane.
You're right.
Wait, you say Carl?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, deputy, crap, that's Shane.
Well, Rick wasn't the sheriff, was he? He was just a deputy.
I thought he was the sheriff.
Was he the town sheriff?
I don't remember, actually.
Whatever. You got it right.
Carl. All right.
Jess is in the lead. 5-4.
No, because Shane was his partner, so he wouldn't be the sheriff.
There you go. So he's
okay.
Sheriffs don't have partner.
That's true.
They lone wolf it. They delegate.
Yeah.
This person left their phone behind. I flipped to their contacts and only found phone numbers to hotlines for battered women. Who does this shit belong?
Okay, Carol.
Her Amanda's tie. 5-5. This is the first cinnamon tie ever. I'm so excited. I have a tiebreaker.
Okay.
That actually means something. This never happens. This is a geek legacy first.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
Ooh, what a lovely ring. It could be an engagement ring. Who does this shit belong to?
Maggie.
Perfect. The man wins. 6-5.
Yay.
All right. That was a good game.
Yeah. Good job.
Tried to be creative. Thank you very much. I put about 8 minutes into this.
Oh man, Carol's description.
That was hilarious. And we both got it right for that exact reason.
Alright, so that does it for our episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thanks to Jess for joining us, filling in for the absentee Randy and David. They will be back next week, and the gang will all be back together again! So, in the meantime, don't forget to check out the Comic Corner with Jeff and Tyler and the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steven. Speaking of Stevens, another Steven friend of ours, Steven Alva Wood, has a podcast with his friend Eric on YouTube called Flipping the Nerd, so you guys should also check that out too. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye!